WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on a sunny but frigid Tuesday morning. The sun is shining bright, but it's not making much of a difference at all. I got 13 degrees right now on my watch, but our friends over at WPRI earlier had put up a graphic on Facebook. This was at about 7:15 this morning. This was the coldest temperatures at the time from TJ Del Santo. Taunton was at 1 degree at 7:15. Attleboro was at 5 degrees. Dighton, 8 degrees. It was 6 degrees in Chepachet, Rhode Island, which relates to a story we're going to be talking about in a moment. And Hopkins Hollow, I don't know where that is, but it sounds like a nice place. Sounds like a place from a TV show or a book or something. I grew up in a small place called Hopkins Holler. Yeah, I don't know where Hopkins Hollow is, but it was 0 degrees there, so I don't need to know where it is because I'm not going there, not if it's 0 degrees. But those were the temperatures at 7:15 this morning, so I think my watch's been lying to me. I think it's probably been colder than, although, you know, we're on the water here too, so that makes a difference. But those are the temperatures from WPRI. Speaking of it being 1 degree in Taunton, that made it especially brutal for the firefighters overnight that were battling a fire in an apartment complex. The Taunton Gardens on Hopkins Road. The fire broke out just before 3 a.m. and firefighters found smoke and flames coming from one of the buildings. This is per WPRI. And they said several people have been displaced. And one neighbor said that he saw someone being taken away in an ambulance. So we'll bring you more updates to that as we get them. But major fire at the Taunton Gardens apartment complex. And just on Sunday, we had a fatal fire at a condominium complex in Middleborough. So unfortunately, we've entered that time of year. And I know when people turn the heat on, that causes a lot of issues. People using space heaters or gas heat and not paying attention and things like that. So remember fire safety. So getting into this Conjuring House story. And for those of you who say, well, I don't care about the paranormal, ghosts aren't real, Tim, the Conjuring House isn't haunted. None of that matters. None of that matters. What we have is we have a historic and notable property here locally that has been, you know, locally, it's an hour away, but still locally, it's New England here. And something that brings people in from around the world to come and visit. If you haven't been following along, the house was privately owned for many years. The movie The Conjuring came out featuring the Perrin family and the hauntings that they dealt with in that home for a decade. Of course, it's Hollywood, so, you know, it wasn't exactly true. It wasn't, it was based on a true story, as they say. But that drew a lot of interest in the home. People were showing up at the house. The owner, Norma Sutcliffe, couldn't take it anymore. She finally put it up for sale. A couple from Maine, Corey and Jen Heinzen, they purchased it. They were paranormal investigators. They opened it up for people to come and investigate, groups and things like that. And they started the beginnings of it being a business, of it, you know, a place where people could go and pay to go on these ghost hunts and stay overnight and things like that. And then they had to sell it. As Corey said, Corey suffers from PTSD from his time in the service, and he didn't like the person he was becoming when he had to deal with people that were sneaking onto the property and things like that. So he thought they needed to cut ties. They sold it to a woman named Jacqueline Nunez, who I guess, you know, is WPRI always refers to her as a, you know, self-styled medium. She calls herself a medium, but she's very interested in spiritual things and she felt a connection to the house. So she bought it and she's owned it since 2022. But she's also been having some mental health issues. She's been posting wild things on Facebook about government conspiracies and the birds are there to spy on her and all this stuff. And as part of the ongoing drama, Jason Hawes, who was the star of Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi Channel, his daughter worked at the Conjuring House along with her fiance. The two of them worked there. And they kept their haunted objects collection there. And there was a fire in the garage, in the barn, rather. And they lost some of their objects. And from what they say, Jacqueline said she was going to use the insurance money to pay them for some of their objects to help them recoup their losses. And never did. She claims that they were responsible for the fire because the person that was doing the work on the barn was someone that they knew from their paranormal team. And, you know, so all this back and forth. And the situation slowly devolved where she wasn't paying people. She wasn't living up to, you know, her agreements with people. She fired her manager because the ghost of John Arnold told her that he was stealing from her, even though she had no other proof that he was stealing other than the ghost told her that. She fired him. And he filed the wrongful termination suit. And there was all kinds of things that were going on. And she's devolving through all this stuff, you know. And the house is falling in disrepair. Eventually, she got pulled over for OUI at one point. And eventually got to the point where the town took away her business license. She was still letting people in and taking bookings even after the fact. So finally the town came down. They're like, no, listen, this is over. This is done. Fast forward months later, we get the word that the house is going up for auction because apparently she wasn't paying the mortgage. And oh, hold on, let me back up. As all this stuff was devolving and these arguments with her and Jason Hawes' daughter, she accused Jason Hawes of being an assassin who was trying to kill her, like a trained assassin, and that he was trying to kill her. There was somebody pulled up in the driveway in a truck that was, you know, part of an investigation that was going on that night. She put it out on the internet claiming it was Jason, a whole bunch of stuff back and forth. And he eventually had to get a restraining order against her because she wouldn't stop calling them and texting them and commenting on their social media and harassing them. So they got a restraining order against her. And all of this stuff goes on. The house is falling in disrepair. Finally, it gets foreclosed on. And they announced that there was going to be an auction that was supposed to happen on Halloween for the property. Jason Hawes says, I have no interest in buying the house. But Andrea Perrin, whose family, again, was the basis of The Conjuring, is suffering from stage 4 cancer. And she asked Jason to buy it because she thinks he's the right person to own it. And so he was moved by her request and put out a GoFundMe and said, listen, I'll put up some of my own money, but I'm not taking on the risk. If people want to chip in and buy it, then we'll continue on with it. And then come to find out, it never made it to auction because Elton Casti, who was the partner, or Casti, I guess it is, but he's the partner of Matt Rife and his paranormal businesses, he bought the debt. He bought the debt on the mortgage from the bank. That doesn't mean that he owns the house, but he bought the debt. So now it's up to him to start the foreclosure procedure and all that kind of stuff. But obviously they bought this as a means to try to get the house. And so now you've got Jason Hawes vying for it through this GoFundMe. You've got Matt and Elton who have the money to buy it. That's not a problem, but they need to have the option to buy it. They need to be able to beat out Jason Hawes, and it's a whole thing. Well, the newest story in the saga, and you can read about it at the WPRI, but the sister of the homeowner, Jacqueline Nunez, her sister, Elizabeth Greenhalg, who lives in Utah, claims she has filed a lawsuit against multiple people, including Jason Hawes, alleging that Jacqueline Nunez was not mentally competent when she handed over the rights to sell the house for at least $1.3 million. So apparently what happened was Julie DeMay, who is somebody that I know, she's part of a paranormal investigation team in Rhode Island. She was named in this lawsuit as somebody who convinced Jacqueline Nunez to give her power of attorney, limited power of attorney, to, quote, do all things necessary with respect to the sale of the home with Jason Haas. And so apparently she asked, she gave Julie DeMay power of attorney to work out a deal to sell the house to Jason Haas. Now, this is fishy to me because Jacqueline Nunez hates Jason Haas. And this doesn't seem like something that I would think Jason and Julie would get involved in. But again, I don't know all the inner workings and I don't know them super well. I probably know Jay more than I know Julie. But this is the accusation that's being made by the sister. So who knows where this goes from here, but it's very interesting. And of course we'll continue to follow him, but what a twist, you know, Jason is doing this fundraising and trying to get the GoFundMe to go. And now you've got this claim that he was trying to secretly weasel the house away from her while from Jacqueline Nunez while she was not mentally competent to enter into any kind of business agreement. It just seems odd that you would try to set this up and not have the $1.3 million already. You'd have to go to a GoFundMe to do it. I don't know. I can see it either, you know, either way. All right, but let's take some phone calls here. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Oh, my God. You know I'm on the edge of my seat. Because I am all about this.
It couldn't be any more ridiculous.
It couldn't be, Tim. This is like, oh, my God. You talk about Dallas back in my day, the sagas and the drama. I mean, this is like, this is the jackpot of all jackpots. You can't get in it. You can't get any richer, thicker. But here's the thing. Matt Reif isn't on that lawsuit, right?
I don't think he's named in it because they'd name him in the story. But, other people are saying that him and Elton are just doing their own shady maneuvering and buying the debt to try to make sure that they're the ones that end up with it.
Well, you know what? I saw some stuff on YouTube when Matt Wright did, when he jumped in and got all this, bought the debt supposedly, but it was at the auction, I thought, is how he got it.
No, they bought the debt from the bank before there was an auction, so that meant they canceled the auction.
Okay, so now I'm wondering, is he going to be a part of this lawsuit, though? Do you think they can, I don't know.
No, because this is not about the sale of the house, this is about the power of attorney situation.
Power of attorney, mm-hmm. Right. So you know what? You know how much I love him, and I know you don't really think much of him, but I love him, and I'm glad that he got this, and because he really does like this kind of stuff. He believes in it.
Well, he doesn't have it. All they have is the debt, so that doesn't give them the house. That just gives them, so basically they're the ones that can now collect the money from Jacqueline Nunez.
Oh, wait. Okay, I'm confused. So buying the debt doesn't give them not looking for power.
No, basically he owns the mortgage now. Basically he's the bank that she owes money to now.
But when anybody that owns the mortgage owns the particular, they don't own the property, but he owns that house.
No, he doesn't. He does not own the property. He would have to foreclose on the property and then he would be allowed to bid the same way anybody else would be able to bid. That's the way that it works.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you for clarifying that. Well, I don't know. I just, it's all so fascinating, right? And listen, doesn't this make it even all that more? Like, so much grief has come from that place, The Conjuring. Come on, The Conjuring is still going on.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to that. First of all, there's no real, you know, proof of any of the negative tragedies that people talk about there, and stuff has been fictionalized over the years. I think this is more just, this is what happens when people, you know, get involved with money, and when you've got mental illness on one side, and on the other side, you've got people who look at it as a business opportunity. And here's the weird part about it. There's no guarantee it can even continue as a business. The entertainment license was taken away, and the town could say, yeah, we're not giving you another one. No, we're done with this.
Okay. All right. You know what? Good.
Because it's not zoned commercial. It's zoned residential.
Residential, right. And that is huge. Wow. You know something? I wouldn't even thought of it that way. So, wow. You really know your politicking when it comes to this kind of stuff.
I've just been following this story along for quite a while, so.
Well, we love you for it. And listen, I love you for coming into work. Such a cold morning. God bless you.
Well, I don't have to pay for the heat here, so I'm happy to come in.
I don't know what it's like to get in your car at 5 in the morning, 5:30, to get to work at 6. But I appreciate you so much, Tim. You're my beloved, and I love you so much to do that, because a lot of people eventually would say, I'm checking out. I'm not doing this no more.
I've got an easy job compared to other people that get up that early in the morning and work outside and things like that. So,
well, I love you to pieces.
I love you too.
Morning so special.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Let me take another call here before I got to go to a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. Very interesting. You guys were discussing the whole situation with crying Ryan Pereira, the Ward 6 city councilor, earlier today.
Yes.
You know, if you go online, you can actually see the minutes of those meetings of that committee. I think it was a committee. I'm not sure if it was a committee or a... what else? It could be called something else, but whatever. It was a group put together to find a property to build the school on.
I think it's an ad hoc committee is what they refer to it as.
Ad hoc committee, correct. Yeah. So you can actually see the minutes, and you can see clearly where crying Ryan Pereira, the Ward 6 city councilor, was clearly advocating for his uncle's property. And I say that because in one instance, they were voting on something where how many students would be able to go to that school. And if they would have voted for the larger number, that site would not be suitable. And he advocated to keep it at the number that would be better suited to keep that property. So, you know, you can look at that whichever way you want, but that's online. So for Linda Moron, I mean, Linda Morad, sorry.
Hold on. I just want to ask you, let's not do the nicknames. You know, isn't Chris McCarthy's show. I don't like that game.
No, he doesn't allow that. But I meant to say Linda, it was just a slip of the tongue. I apologize. Linda Morad, you know, to say that he wasn't a conflict of interest is quite laughable. And I'm shocked that you take her word as you do, because of all the evidence.
I take her word in how it played out. Yeah, I take her word in you asked him to step down and you put somebody else on. Now, that doesn't mean that there wasn't, you know, information ahead of time. But I'm just saying, like, I believe that was the process of how it worked. Yeah.
Yeah, they were all acting like there was no conflict. At the time, you know, I started speaking on it, but it was Gilly's actions that ultimately got him to be removed, because it is clearly a conflict. Well,
but again, just to be clear, it's a moral conflict. It certainly feels like it's wrong, but legally it's not.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but. Yeah.
I mean, you just gotta look up the Massachusetts conflict of interest law. It states what's considered a conflict.
But, you know, but you would think just to, you know, to make sure everything's on the up and up, that a person that is serious about being a city councilor and wants people to you know, have a good reputation and everything, the best recourse would have been for him to recuse himself right from the beginning.
I wouldn't be on a commission like that if I thought that that property might be something that would be a potential site. So I know I know Councilor Moore had explained the reason why he was put on the committee was because he was the ward counselor and that that's their practice. But if I was the ward counselor, I would say, you know what, in this particular case, one of the sites that we might consider is something that's owned by a member of my family. I'd rather not be on the committee.
Are forgetting. Listen, Linda Morad puts things out there trying to paint a picture, right? Which I understand. She's trying to keep a legacy, and it's crumbling. You know, that's why she's leaving. But the reality is, it was Ian Abreu that placed him on that ad hoc committee, and she continued it. And that's why it's more disturbing. When Ian Abreu added him, we didn't know what sites were being looked at. There were a bunch of sites. By the time she added him, they had already honed in and zeroed in on that property. So at that time, she knew well that it was a conflict of interest. So she's just protecting herself, of course. That's why she's calling in. This is the same lady that asked the professionals to make up things and make up paperwork to make her look innocent when she stole that dog. I can bring you the CD that, you know, Manny Maceo got in trouble and everything. I mean, it's all on record. It just was never discussed by the media. But she stole a dog and then used her seat to cover it up. And she tried to have the chief. She had Forever Paws try to cover it up. And she had Manny Maceo. And she was trying to have them make things up. And fabricate times and all kind of things. So I would advise you to be careful in taking everything she says as fact.
Thanks. Well, I do plan on asking her to come in before the end of the end of her time on the council to come in and take some phone calls. So we'll see.
I hope so. I hope she takes it. I mean, if it will make her come on, I will not call in. How about that?
I will let her know. I'll let her know that caveat when I ask.
Okay.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. Thanks.
All right. I got to get a break in here and then we'll come back with the news and we can talk more with you. 508-996-0500.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios. This is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes. Trusted, local, family. President Trump sets aside billions in aid for U.S. farmers, a spike in flu cases in the Northeast, and a possible Fed rate cut tomorrow.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump is unveiling his $12 billion farm aid package. During a roundtable at the White House, Trump insisted the money was not in response to farmers being hit hard by tariff policies, but rather due to the Biden administration's bad policies. American farmers have lost billions this year in soybean sales after China started going to South American suppliers as trade talks were stalled. The announcement comes as Trump administration officials say it's making affordability its number one issue. There's a spike in flu cases in the Northeast, triggering several hospitals to reinstate mask mandates. Here's Kristen Marks.
The New York State Department of Health has labeled the flu prevalent, confirming more than 14,000 cases the week ending November 29th, an 80% spike from the week prior. Hospitalizations are up 93%. Meanwhile, New Jersey reported more than 2,000 cases through the end of November, close to four times the number the same time last year. And numbers are likely up even more since not everyone is getting tested. Facilities like Hackensack Meridian Health and RWJ Barnabas Health are asking visitors to mask up.
The Federal Reserve widely expected to announce an interest rate cut tomorrow. But investors caution the Fed's policy committee, which begins its two-day meeting today, could be sharply divided. A handful of members have expressed worries over possible tariff-driven inflation. At least one In-N-Out Burger store has apparently dropped the number 67 from its order system.
Orders now go from 66 to 68, skipping 67. That's what an employee is seen telling a teenage customer in a video that went viral on Sunday. The employee tells the customer it's because of people like you. In-N-Out has yet to confirm if this was a company-wide decision or just at that store. It comes amid the popularity of the viral 6-7 meme, which has no clear origin. Videos posted to social media have shown large crowds of teens erupting in cheers when the order number 67 is announced at In-N-Out locations. I'm Daniel Martindale.
Jimmy Kimmel reportedly getting a one-year contract extension from ABC. Reports say the deal keeps the late-night host with the network through the end of the 2026-27 season. Kimmel's current contract was set to expire in May. The extension comes less than 3 months after the Disney-owned network briefly suspended Kimmel for comments he made about the Charlie Kirk assassination. He was brought back nearly a week later with his return to Jimmy Kimmel Live, drawing more than 6 million viewers. The most popular Christmas movie in America being revealed.
Going for a new amateur recreational saucer sled land speed record, Clark W. Griswold Jr.
Pixel Parade surveyed thousands of adults across the country to determine which movie was the favorite in each state. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation came out on top as the favorite movie in Massachusetts and 30 other states. A Christmas Story came in second, followed by Home Alone. A poll by the American Psychiatric Association shows 41% of U.S. adults expect to feel more stress this holiday season than last year. Clinical psychologist Carrie Ditzel says in order to keep your mental health during the holiday season, you may have to say no to certain things.
Take a minute to think about what you really want to do. What is worth changing your routine for? Which party, which person is going to bring you joy and it's worth the stress or the disruption?
The poll also shows nearly half of adults say they are worried about missing someone or grief. Nearly half also say they're worried about affording or finding holiday gifts. Acting legend Dick Van Dyke turns 100 years old on Saturday. That's the same day director Steve Betcher releasing the film Dick Van Dyke 100th Celebration.
It's 100 years in the making, if you think about it. And we interview all the co-stars that worked with Mr. Van Dyke through his career. It's the Dick Van Dyke Show cast, Mary Poppins. It's Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. We're excited to bring this to theaters.
You can see the film in theaters on Saturday and Sunday. Dick Van Dyke expected to attend some of his birthday events this weekend.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
The Bruins are in St. Louis tonight at 8 o'clock. Celtics off till Thursday, and the Week 16 Patriots-Ravens game on Sunday the 21st has been moved to Sunday Night Football, with kickoff being moved from 1 to 8 p.m.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast. Brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
It'll be a frigid start Tuesday morning with temps in the teens for the South Coast. Highs will rise into the lower 30s by the afternoon with clouds increasing throughout the day. There'll be a chance for an evening rain or snow shower, which will continue overnight into early Wednesday morning. For WBSM, I'm 12 News meteorologist Katie McNeil.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. Upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. All right. My number here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hi.
Morning.
Oh, man, you don't know. I left early today for the walk, and I knew how cold it was because I opened my window in the apartment before I leave. But I have a winter headband that covers your ears, you know, goes around your head, covers your ears. I also put earmuffs on top of that and my hat, and I had a shirt on, another shirt over that one, and a sweater, then the jacket. So I was doing pretty good on the top of my body, and I also put on the cotton mask I would wear, you know, to keep the viruses away that everybody laughs when you wear it. Well, I had that on, and it kept my nose warm, my mouth. I was able to breathe. But I usually do between 40 or 45 minutes, never under that. But I couldn't seem to do more than 15 minutes because comfortable on the top, but my legs started to get cold. I mean, the pants, the jeans material, the cold just goes right through it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to wear two pairs of pants. And I do have, like what people wear sometimes in the winter, they're baggy, like fleece pants.
Right.
And I didn't even think of them. And I said, yeah, but you know what? I think I still, the cold would have still hit my legs. So I was lucky to get maybe 15 minutes. I was listening to the show while I was walking. I heard about the Conjuring House and all that good stuff and heard Gilly. I heard everything, and I had to have the little ear thing on my ear underneath. Band underneath the ear mark.
Oh, yeah, because you got layers over your ears, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. If it's going to be like this tomorrow, then I mean, I know winter's here,
so,
but I could have chose to just do the floors. We have 11 floors here. You got two sides to each hallway. So that's 11 down one hallway, 11 down the other one, plus going down the steps on each floor. So it is a good workout doing that, too, but it's not like being outside.
Well, one thing you could try for your legs is you could get some, what I don't know if you've ever seen Under Armour.
Leg warmers?
No, Under Armour.
Oh, what is it?
Under Armour. It's a brand. And so if you go to like Dick's Sporting Goods, you can probably get a pair of Under Armour pants for like, you know, $25-$30. But if you go to Savers, a lot of times they have them. And check the men's section too, you know, just because, you know, they're going under your clothes, so who cares if they're for men, right? But if you find a good pair, they're some of them are like skin tight, but they keep the warmth in. I got some when I used to have to cover high school football and it was cold out. And I would wear those under my jeans and it would keep my legs warm.
Yeah.
And and it's thin, so it doesn't make it bulky under your jeans.
I know what you're saying. I think I will do that. I do have women's leg warmers, and I didn't even think about it because they were in the jar. In the winter, I put everything away, and the summer. So I just thought of it after I came in the door today. I said, gee, I should have grabbed those out of the jar, and I didn't. But they're not that warming. Maybe the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, the Under Armour holds the heat in. So the heat from your body stays in and keeps you warm.
But I'm going to look like a freaking Eskimo all packed up.
No, I mean,
I could feel it.
No. The Under Armour is like skin tight, so it stays against your body and keeps the warmth in.
Yeah, well, oh, man.
And then if you really want to get crazy, and I don't know how much this would cost, but you can get one of those jumpsuits like the motorcycle drivers wear that have the electric heat pack in them.
Okay, I'm not going to do that.
Then,
I was so uncomfortable. Do you have any idea? I was so uncomfortable, but comfortable on the top. I was well packed on the top. I'm sure I wasn't going to get a chest cold. I was covered up. My head was covered up. And what was really making me sick was the earplugs in my ears so I could hear the radio. I'm just using a little transistor that I've had for a long time, and it still works good. You just have to replace the battery. Because if I carry my phone, I mean, I'm just going to drop it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good for dropping my phone. I have that problem all the time. But I listened to most of the show. It was very interesting. And I heard them on the news talking about Dick Van Dyke. I'm so excited. I hope nothing happens. I want him to have that birthday. I'm just so happy. He's a good actor, and He sings good, dances good. I've always enjoyed his movie, and I know he's going to make it. I'm so happy about it. If I could afford it, I'd have a big parade going up and down the street in front of his house. I'd have to go all the way over there, which would cost money, well, but I would do it.
I mean, he's 100 years old. Don't disturb him.
I mean, a whole century, you know, Mr. Weisberg. That's a long time.
Yeah, very impressive.
Oh, me too. I wish I knew what his diet was. I'm going to have to look into all this. Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm ready to make a second cup of coffee because I had a decaf before I left the house to warm me up, and I still wasn't warmed up enough. No way was I ready. In spite of all that stuff I was walking around, carrying around, I was still cold, all because of my legs, and my rear end got cold, too. Let's not forget that.
Well, the Under Armour should help with that, too.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
And yeah, that was, I was very much against like the, I was like, no, come on. I'm not an athlete. I don't need to get that stuff. But everybody that covered sports with me was like, no, try it. It'll make a difference. So I didn't get the actual Under Armour. I got like a knockoff one that I found, I think at Walmart or Target. And it definitely made a difference. So, and now I have like actual, I have Under Armour sweatshirts and things like that. And they are some of the warmest stuff that I have. In fact, I've been breaking all that out this week because it's been so cold. You know, not only staying warm during the day, but then when I get home, if I keep that on, I don't need to have the heat as high. So I guess I've turned into one of those people that, you know, your dads always tell you to be, right? Maybe it's, you know, it's the dad part of me. Keep the heat down. Just put on a sweater. Yeah, okay. Now I'm, you know, because generally I'm just hanging around the house in a pair of shorts and nothing else. But now I'm in layers, especially on a day like today, a morning like today, when we had, you know, single digit temperatures around the South Coast. All right, I got to take a break. Before I do that, though, we're talking about the cold, and there's nothing worse than having your septic system break down when it's cold and the ground is frozen. So now is the time, before we get into the deep, deep freeze, now is the time, if you think your septic system needs some attention, to reach out to Bass Ready Rooter. For over 50 years, they've been the trusted name in drain cleaning and septic maintenance across New Bedford, Fall River, and Dartmouth. From emergency clogs to hydro jetting and camera inspections, their expert team delivers solutions the right way, with honesty and respect. That's why neighbors and plumbers alike recommend them, with over 700 five-star Google reviews. So Bass Ready Rooter, you can call them at 508-995-8012. That's 508-995-8012. Or visit bassready.com, B-A-S-S-R-E-D-D-Y, bassready.com. All right, let me get this break in here. We'll be back in a few moments.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes, trusted, local, family.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. He's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
And welcome back in. One thing I love about the band Cake, and I do love the band Cake, but one thing I love about them is when you think about it, a lot of singers just add in, oh yeah, into their songs, right? And where there normally might be a yeah, Cake puts in a no. So like in, you know, sheep go to heaven, goats go to hell. And so instead of going like, oh, yes, oh, no, oh, no. And, that, you know, they do that in multiple songs. But I just always thought that was a nice little quirky touch. Anyway, I'm looking outside at the bright, sunny morning, and I know that it's freezing, but that sun could be gathering you up some energy, charging up your home and powering up all of the things that you're using to stay warm. How does it all work? Isaacson Solar can come out and explain it to you. If you want to have them come out and sit down with you and go over all your questions about solar, just go to isaacsonsolar.com and set up an appointment. I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. They are the ones that can answer all your questions truthfully, honestly, directly. No sales pitch, no runaround. They're not one of these companies that comes in and sells the panels and moves on to the next community. They are here to stay. They're part of our community. They're based right in Fall River. So check out Isaacson Solar to find out more. All right, I got to get to one more break here before the end of the hour, but a quick couple of app chat messages. Participation Trophy Wife says, I broke down and bought snow pants last year for walks. Mary needs some too. Those were always just too bulky for me. And the snow gloves, too bulky for me. And Sketty says, real quick, have you heard from Lamone? And she says, Mary, you are a joy. I haven't heard from Lamone lately, but as far as I know, he's doing a lot better than he was. So last time he called in, he was sounding much, much better. All right, let me get this final break in. We'll be right back to wrap things up. It can be a business for people, but I don't think that anybody is, I just don't know. I don't think the town's going to approve it to be a business. You know, they had to get a variance to operate that, and I don't know that they'd be willing to give it to another person. I mean, I guess if it's the right person, maybe, but this is a house in a neighborhood, like a neighborhood in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, so we can talk more about that if there's more developments.